Thank you, Ivan. Good morning, brothers and sisters, here and on Zoom. It's lovely to be with you again. In our reading in Romans 1, the first thing Paul says is that he is a servant of Jesus Christ. And a few verses later, he says he's a servant of God. So Paul is introducing himself as a servant, and he says that many, many times in his various letters. If you then look at all the other letters in the New Testament, and you look at the writers of the other letters, you actually find that all of them, James and Peter and John and Jude, all describe themselves as servants. So, of course, I started looking elsewhere. If you look in the Old Testament, it's amazing. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, David, Samuel, Job, Isaiah, Daniel, and I stopped looking at that point, but they're all described as servants in Scripture. So these prominent characters in Scriptures, who were often very important people, very important men in Israel, or important in the church, they're all described to us as servants in God's sight. And of course, the Lord Jesus himself, he describes himself as a servant. So, Scripture obviously gives us these examples to follow, especially the example of the Lord Jesus. So, the exhortation must surely be that we should be trying to be servants too. If you think about all those characters we've mentioned, I think learning how to be a servant wasn't an easy lesson for some of them to learn, was it? And I don't think it's a very easy lesson for many of us to learn, because most of us don't really want to be servants, do we? In this world, it's not the way that we are taught to think, is it? We want to be independent. We want to be free. We want to be able to do what we want to do, not what somebody else wants us to do. And I know I'm a definite example of that. I know I've always liked to be independent. I realised at work very early on that my ideal job was a job where I didn't have to tell anybody else what to do, and nobody else would tell me what to do. I'm retired now, of course, but Sarah will tell you that I'm just the same now, of course. So it doesn't come easy, I think, being a servant, does it, to many of us. When we read the Gospels, we find that learning how to be servants did not come easily for the disciples of the Lord Jesus. And we know that Jesus taught them many things, many parables, many lessons about how to be faithful servants, how to be diligent servants, how to be humble servants. In fact, when the Lord Jesus met with his disciples for the last time before his crucifixion, at the Last Supper, at the first breaking of bread, he exhorted the disciples about being servants. So can we start in Luke chapter 22, please? So we will be spending a lot of our time this morning at the Last Supper with the disciples and with the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 22 and reading from verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed, and he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." So they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you, carrying a pitcher of water, follow him into the house which he enters. Then you will say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large, furnished upper room, there make ready. So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. So just like we are meeting today to remember the Lord Jesus in the way he asks us to, in the bread and wine, in fellowship with our fellow disciples, our brothers and sisters. So we've just read how Jesus sent Peter and John to get things ready, didn't he? And that included following the man with the water. And they had to follow the man with the water into the upper room. And that was the water that was going to be needed for the washing of feet at the service, the meeting they were going to have. This is where the Lord Jesus initiated this, the most central part of our worship, wasn't it? Where we remember everything that he did for us through the bread and wine. Jesus said he wanted to meet with his disciples with fervent desire. He wanted to share the full meaning of what he was about to do with them and share a special fellowship with the disciples at this time. It must have been the very climax, mustn't it, of the 3 years that he'd spent with them. All that he had done with them, all that he had told them, all that he had taught them. And how did the disciples respond to this very special moment? Verse 24. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. Oh dear. Imagine how Jesus must have felt at that point. I imagine he must have despaired of them, mustn't he? Just like I'm sure the Lord Jesus must despair of us many times when we fail to understand our calling as disciples, when we fail to live up to our calling as disciples. So what does Jesus do? Well, he teaches them. He teaches them a lesson. He gives them an exhortation. So still in Luke 22, verse 25. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. So the disciples had to learn how to be humble, to be servants. And as always, of course, the Lord Jesus was giving them the example that they could follow, the example that we can follow. He was serving them. He was going to lay down his life for them. And there couldn't be any greater service than that. So, reading this account in Luke's Gospel, it made me think, well, I find myself thinking, like, is that really how it happened? could it be that, you know, just after this the breaking of bread and this special time, that the disciples could have really been so insensitive that they started arguing about who was important? You know, did it really happen like that? Or was it perhaps just the way that Luke recorded it for us? But actually, no, I think it was like that. It must have been like that, because we can read about it in John's Gospel as well. So can we go to John chapter 13, please? John 13 and verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil had already put it into his heart, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and he had come from God and he was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So, this must have been the same time, mustn't it? It was during the meal. It was before Judas went out. It was before Jesus talked about Peter's denial. So, it had never dawned on me before, it probably has to you, but if you read the Luke verses we read, and this was the same time. So when Jesus, in those verses in Luke, we read, said, "Look, I'm here among you as a servant, you should be a servant," this is the time when Jesus washed their feet to show them what he meant. John 13, verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So yes, Jesus was their teacher and their Lord, and they were his servants, but he was serving them now. He lived his whole life serving them, and above all, he was now going to give them the ultimate service and lay down his life for them, for us. So here he was, loving them, serving them, and the lesson is that's what the disciples were to do too. Peter, of course, protested more than the rest, and that wasn't surprising, perhaps, was it? It was Peter who had gone the day before with John and made sure the room was ready. It was Peter who had made sure that water there was in the room for the washing of the feet of the guests. Peter could have done the washing of the feet if he wanted to, but none of the disciples had wanted to be the servant and done the washing of the feet. They were too busy arguing about who was the most important. So Jesus had to explain it to them and show them and show us. Jesus said, verse 17, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Well, we do know these things, don't we? We know we should try to follow the example of our Lord. But do we understand what it means in practice? Do we actually do it? I think it's quite striking, isn't it, in the Gospels, when you read about the lessons of the Lord Jesus and the parables of the Lord Jesus that he gave to his disciples, how many of them are about servants and serving. Just one example, the are about the day of judgment in Matthew 25, when the people are separated into the right and the left, the sheep and the goats. The king says to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." It's all about serving others, isn't it? So are we actually doing that sort of service in our lives? When Jesus taught them this lesson, he did remind them that he was their Lord and Master. He is our Lord and Master, and of course, we must serve him. But he showed them that he was serving them, and they should follow his example and serve each other. So it wasn't that Peter had to be the servant of John, or John had to be the servant of Peter. They had to serve each other. So in the Ecclesia, we have to serve each other. Sometimes I will be able to serve you, and sometimes you will be able to serve me. Why do we serve each other? John 13, verse 34. "A new commandment I give to you, and you love one another. As I have loved you, that you love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, and that you have love one another." We serve each other because we are following the Lord's example of service. And he served us because he loved us. And so we are trying to follow his example of service because of we are trying to follow his example of love that he showed us, and our love for each other. Because service is something you do for someone you love, isn't it? Just like the service we show in our natural families for those we love, in our ecclesial families, we will want to serve our brothers and sisters because we love them. So this was the exhortation that the Lord Jesus gave at the first breaking of bread. It always strikes me that it was the best exhortation ever. It still is the best exhortation ever. What else did Jesus say in that exhortation? A little bit later, John chapter 15, read from verse 11. "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I had appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." We didn't choose the Lord Jesus, he chose us. He is our Lord and Master, and we are trying to follow his example. We try to serve because he showed us how to truly serve. We try to love because he showed us how to truly love. We try to be friends because he showed us how to be a true friend. A friend who is so loving that he's willing to give up his life for his friends. What does it mean to be a friend of the Lord Jesus? As far as I know, there was only one person who Jesus specifically called his friend in Scripture, and that was Lazarus. So just go back a little way in John's Gospel for a minute, please. When we read about Lazarus in John chapter 11, start at verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." And his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking a rest in sleep. And Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." So Jesus loved Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Jesus was willing to risk his life for his friend Lazarus. But it wasn't easy to be a friend of Jesus, was it? We just read how Thomas said, "You know, let us go that we may die with him." Thomas realized that he had to risk his life to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. A little later on, verse 53, "From that day on they plotted to put Jesus to death. Therefore Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples." In chapter 12, verse 9, "Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus." It was not easy to be a friend of Jesus, as Lazarus knew and as Thomas knew. And then at the Last Supper that we've been thinking about this morning, we read about Peter again, back into John chapter 13 and verse 36. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me 3 times. It wasn't easy to be a friend of Jesus. Peter and the other disciples wanted to follow the example of the Lord Jesus, their master, to show the same service and love and friendship as he did, but so often they struggled to live up to his example. And it's the same for us, isn't it? We want to follow the example of our Lord, to show that service in our lives, that love in our lives, but so often we fail to live up to that example. But the Lord Jesus knew that we would struggle, and that's one of the reasons he told us to meet together like this. He told his disciples to meet together to remember him in bread and wine, just like he told us to meet together in this way. So we can try to learn from him, to continue to learn from him in our lives, and remember, always remember what he has done for us. Because he knows we can't do it on our own, doesn't he? We are only able to be counted, to have the privilege of being his servants, his disciples, because of what he did for us and how he gave up his life for us. Jesus had told them, that the greatest love that anyone could have was that he would give up his life for his friends. And that's what we've come to remember now. Just like our Lord and Saviour exhorted those first disciples and showed us by example, the ultimate example of love, the ultimate example of being a servant, he was prepared to lay down his life for us, his friends, that we might be forgiven, that we might be saved through what he did for us. And we're going to remember now, as Jesus asked us to, in the bread and the wine.